Good morning. Yesterday, even though the snow is out there on the yard, and you think that with snow that you could be able to jump and roll in it and play and build snowmen out of it. Well, Joy told me that she could just walk on water. I said, what? You know? And then when I went out there with her later on, I went and stepped on it. I said, oh my, now I know what you mean. I don't think you call that snow, do you? What, ice? What do you call it? Fake snow? I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, you know, in Southern California, I still remember my days there. The snow stayed up in the mountains where it belonged. And now I know why! But it is still beautiful, but I'm looking forward to those warmer days. Right, you, right, Nate? Are you too? Do you like the warmth too? Okay, that's good to hear, because I do too. Melt that snow, Father. As we continue on in the Lord's Prayer, and it's been challenging in a lot of different ways, but it also is really important because the Lord's Prayer is more than just a prayer. It is Jesus' heart. And when he speaks to the Father, you know, his heart, we see it, we touch it. So when we pray that pattern of a prayer, it's like we're joining with his heart. And if you ever really sat down and just prayed to that prayer and just and really talked with God in it, boy, it is a powerful moment of prayer, and you really feel like you've been in the presence of the Lord. I know I have, anyways. So today we're going to stepping into something that's very difficult. Being forgiven, of course, you know, we're asked to, you know, forgive us. But as we forgive others, it's probably one of the most difficult things that we can do. And we're going to be looking at that a little bit more today. Public enemy number one. All right, and I know that, you know, if you watch that, you see John Dillinger's face, you know, this old mob gangster or something like that. You know, you think of public enemy number one. Well, I was kind of looking up, kind of wanting statistics, you know, and in 18th century Europe, the number one killer was smallpox. All right, and in the 19th century America, number one killer was pneumonia and tuberculosis, and I think there were some couple of other things that were kind of sharing the lead there. I didn't want to go too long there. So, and then the 20th century, the worldwide number one killer, you know, we'll get to that. But, you know, right now, we're all the public enemy number one has been coronavirus for the last couple of years almost now, right? This has been the thing that we're trying to eliminate. And you know, it's just, it's been a, you know, something that's gone around the world and it's affected many, many lives. All right. So what do you think? What's the number one killer, do you think, in the 20th century? That means the 1900s up to, you know, the year 2000. We're in the 21st century, if you didn't know that. We don't have those statistics yet. What do you think? Pizza? What? What? Flu? Flu? Good one. Anybody else?
War?
That's a good guess, too. Abortion? Drugs?
Lack of oxygen.
What? Spanish flu.
Cancer.
Cancer. Did somebody say lack of oxygen? They must be living up in the Sierra Nevadas or maybe up at higher. Well, let's end the suffering here. It is heart disease. And to me, when you talk about the heart, I start thinking not just physical, but I start thinking the spiritual. All right, and there, to me, and to my understanding, and I think anybody who really looked at these things, our true number one killer of history of mankind, what do you think is? What?
Sin.
Sin, right? It's sin. Without sin, we would not have war. We would not have heart disease. We would not have coronaviruses or flus or any of that, pneumonias or anything like that, right? There'd be no death. But because of sin, there is death. And we have lots of other issues as well. So that's one thing. And then, you know, then I was listening to Alistair Begg because I like to listen to him to kind of get a feel of how he spins these things to what he's learned so I can kind of bring in some things from you know, different areas. And one thing he says the number one killer of a spiritual life, what do you think that is? Chewing gum in class? What do you think?
Sin again.
Sin? Apathy?
Greed.
What?
Greed.
Greed, that's a good one. Okay.
Lack of prayer.
Lack of prayer? Unforgiving spirit. And I, when he said that, I said, oh my. Because from my experiences, I would say yes. Because not only when you are have an unforgiving spirit, not only are you being disobedient to God, but it starts to affect you, not only spiritually, but physically too. You know, when you have spiritual issues, it also affects you physically and mentally and emotionally. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes when you have physical issues, that can affect you spiritually, but sometimes it can actually improve you spiritually. So there could be, there's impacts each way, but unforgiving spirit. And we're going to be taking a closer look at that today and what that really means. So I'm getting a little bit of feedback here, Nolan. Is it to maybe the top guy? The bass or whatever that is? What is that? Do you see that? Get up there, top there. Hello? Hello? Yep. Now I think the feedback is a little bit... I still got a little bit. Do you hear a little bit? I think it's a little bit there. So we'll go on. Let's pray before we continue. Father God, we come before you knowing that, yes, it is just so great to even be known as one of your children, your son or daughter, Lord. And we know that the only way we have been able to be adopted into your family is that because of your forgiveness. If you weren't a forgiving God, then we're toast, as some people would say. Father, thank you. I pray that you'll open our hearts and minds to these things that you have to teach us today, that your name be honored and glorified, that your spirit will move amongst us, Lord. This disease, or whatever you want to call it, this action or inaction of ours, or the pridefulness of our hearts, Lord, that causes unforgiveness, is something that we need to deal with day after day. Lord, help us, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So, dealing with sin. First of all, you know, we're looking at a picture of a family at a table. You know, usually there's, you know, some joyfulness, you know, just a good fellowship going on there. And knowing, you know, with to be with in Christ's family, you know, there is, you know, Jesus paid it all right? He went to the cross. He died once for all. Doesn't have to do it again. All right. And then some people then say, well, if he died for all of our sins, then why do I have to be forgiven again today? And I said, well, that's kind of a good question. You know, why is that? And you know, because there's a struggle still going on, right? I mean, if you read Romans 7, even Paul, the Apostle Paul, who met Christ on the road, you know, and his life got changed and he repented. And he, you know, confessed his sins and he got right with God. And yet he says, I still struggle today. I know what I should do, but I can't do it. And things I don't want to do, I still do. And, you know, so there's a conflict. The conflict in our hearts. And we wrestle with the old sinful nature. We wrestle with the influences of the world around us. And we are up against the Satan's schemes to take us down. So we got a lot on us. So, and then some people, well, what about it then? What about it? Well, Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. When he died on a cross, he paid the debt that we owed. All right? So the penalty is gone. So at the table, let's say, you know, the child here, let's say this young boy, you know, did something disobedient to the father, right? And, you know, and so what happens is, you know, the relationship, he still is dad and he's still son. All right. They got the relationship there. But now with the sin, there's kind of like a cloud hovering over. It's kind of, instead of all the smiles and happiness, now you're just kind of going, you know, there's kind of a somberness going on there. The enjoyment of the relationship has been tainted, it has faded, right, with the sin. The relationship is still there, okay? You know, Jesus paid the penalty. The Father is our Father in heaven when we come in Christ's name. But when we sin, the relationship is soured. And then it has to be made right again when the child finally comes to his senses and says, well, forgive me. Of course, the Father says, yes, I forgive you. And the relationship becomes renewed again and reconciled, as some people would use. And some people say, well, when we sin, do we lose our salvation? And the answer is no. No, you don't. Because just of that. Because we have a forgiving Father. And He chooses to forgive us. Now, of course, He doesn't want us to sin, but He also knows that we're dealing with our sinful nature. And He is patient with us and loving and kind. It comes back to there in John 3:16, when Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples. Do you remember that? And He was doing this to show them servanthood. And then when He came to Peter, Peter being Peter, says, well, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, well, if I don't wash your feet, you know, you're not going to be a part of this. You know, so then He's going, oh, well, then wash my whole body. You know, my head and everything. You know, so he wasn't quite understanding. But Jesus said these words. He says, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. And that was referring to Judas later on, right? But really, as followers of Christ, when we have made a commitment, when we confessed and repented of our sins, and we're following Christ, though we do sin, and we need to deal with it, but we don't need to be washed again. It has already happened. We were already cleaned. We were washed. All our sins, as red as crimson, were washed as white as snow. You know, they are thrown into the deepest depths of the oceans. They're removed from us from the farthest ways of the east from the west. But we still deal with our sin. Too bad. You know, it would be nice if we said, Jesus, forgive me my sins and all that, and I'm going to follow you, and shoop, no more sin. The sin nature got, oh, that'd be awesome. But it's not like that right now. He's working on us, and there will be a time when everything will be perfected like that. When we go to heaven, we're not going to have the presence of sin anymore. But now, we still have to deal with it. There's still that walk. But we don't need to be cleansed or whole full body. All we need now is just the dust of our feet to be washed. And we continue on. So something pretty important for us to remember, dealing with our own sin and coming to the Father. So to vanquish our number one killer, of, you know, that unforgiveness, first of all, we have to start off with really a life of daily repentance on our own. Until we really do that, we won't really grasp what Christ has done for us. If we don't really have that type of a walk with God that causes us to go, oh man, you know, I got to get right with you again, because, you know, I just said something or did something or my thought life or whatever it was, you know, and come before God and clear it up with Him. You know, that's a daily life of repentance. If you're not coming before God every day in some type of fashion like that, repenting, if not many times a day, then you need to look at your heart, because there's no one who is sinless in this world. No one. Though we are we have this wonderful relationship with the Father that will not be taken away from us, yet we still need to get clean and have that daily cleansing or moment-to-moment cleansing with Him. And even in 1 Corinthians, if you looked at that, there in chapter 11, and they're around a communion table, right? And one thing that's happening there is this. I think it was verse 27, it says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep." And what he means by falling asleep, have died. All right? There's consequences to sin. You know, sin is not eradicated fully even when we follow Christ, and the consequences of sin is not eradicated either. All right? There's still consequences to our sin. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. So we need to really walk with a life that is really assessing how we're doing, right? Moment to moment. And really, that's that relationship part with God. It's not by rules and the do's and don'ts and all that stuff. No, it's just that relationship and your heart connected to God's heart. And some people's hearts are softer and repent quicker than others. And it depends where you are with them. But as you understand this more and more, then it allows us to vanquish our number one enemy of an unforgiving spirit. We got to understand repentance before we can ask others or give it to others, right? To forgive others. So dealing with sin, I don't know about, you know, I've been in this position before and not as a teacher. All right. I've written on a board a few times, and oh, yes, I wasn't that naughty, really. It was just those days teachers didn't take much. Jeff is, yes, he understands that too. The sore arm, do you remember the sore arm and the chalk dust? And oh, there was something about that chalk dust, you know. And I love it when the chalk broke, and I sometimes throw a piece at my friend, and then maybe I had to write some more sentences afterwards. So I think it was like 200. I forget what it was. Maybe it was 50. Maybe they were lenient back then. But dealing with sin against us, you know, it is distasteful, all right, because it is the hardest thing for us to do, for me to do, is to forgive somebody else, because pride gets in there. Pride. Just don't want to do it. You did that to me. I'm not going to forgive you. I like getting after you. I like grinding you in the side, right? You did that. You know, have you ever gone home after a few years, like Joy? We go back to see her parents in Canada, and, you know, her dad once in a while just brings up something. I remember this. And we kind of go, oh. She's 2 years old, you know, or something like that. You know, so it's just kind of like, you know, things like that. So things like that happen. You know, it's just human stuff. It is hard to forgive other people because now we're in a position of God, and that's what Adam and Eve wanted to do. Oh, it feels so good to have power over others. Or you may think you have power over others. Actually, what's happening, and Steve, I have forgiven you. And you haven't asked for forgiveness, but I have forgiven you. All right. So, but that power, it's actually something's happening here that's actually twisting you up and turning you further away from God. And we don't want that. We can't have that in our lives. It's distasteful. figure which way I'm going here. Here we go. So there's a misunderstanding. You see, when I read this verse 4 in the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. For we also," it starts to play with my mind a little bit. It's kind of like saying, I forgave Johnny. Now you got to forgive me. It's like a give or take type thing, right? It's kind of like, I'm earning your forgiveness. You know, oh, I forgave this guy. He did something really bad to me. So now all my bad things, you got to forgive me. But it's not like that. See, it was all paid at the cross once and for all. We're not going to earn it. No, it's a different, you know, we have to get away from that. I tell you something, I believe, before I even studied this, my thoughts were like this. I have to forgive so I can be forgiven. No, I was wrong. I really was. This really turned me around. No. That's wrong. That's not who God is. I can't earn his love. I can't earn his forgiveness. Nothing I have received that. He has given it to me. So don't ever forget that. So that should correct yourself. Correct it right now, just like I am. Because truthfully, this is it. The truth is we forgive others because we have been forgiven. Because if you go back into that story there of Matthew 18, the unmerciful servant, have you read that lately? In Matthew 18, let me see, I'll turn to that. I'm not going to read the whole thing, or I'm just going to kind of give you the summary of it. But there's, you know, Steve read part of it. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?" "Up to 7 times. You know why he's asking that? Because Gideon, you do it one more time, that's 7, buddy. After that, that's it. You're in the doghouse. I'll send you to Uncle Don, and you can work with him. And he's got big stick, what I heard. So, got that? So that type of thing, you know. So you say, yeah, I only want to forgive this guy this many times, and then that's it. I'm cutting him off. I'm canceling him. That's it. He's done. He's out of my life. But Jesus turns it around. Jesus doesn't let us off the hook, does he? There's a reason for that. I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Really, what he's saying, not 7 times, dude, but zillions of times. There's times that you can't even reach the number. And then he tells the story of this servant that owed like millions, $10 million, $100 million, I don't know what it was, to the master. And he started pleading with the master, "Please, please, please, I can't pay it off. There's no way I could pay it off." And the master finally, out of his mercy and grace, said, "I forgive you. Son, you are forgiven. Your debt is clear." And that servant's going, "Woohoo!" You know? Started dancing and saw that stuff and running around and stuff like that. And then, you know what happened next? He found another servant friend or whatever, and that servant friend owed him 10 bucks. And he started strangling him. He said, "Give it to me now, or I'll send you to prison." That's what he did. Well, the other servants heard about this, and they told the master. And the master said, "Oh, come here, servant." He says, "You don't understand what I just did for you, did you? You're going to prison until you pay off that $100 million debt." See, that is what it's about. One of the chief evidences of a true repentance is a forgiving spirit. If you don't have a forgiving spirit, I don't think you've really repented yet of your sin. I don't think you've really come before Christ with a whole heart, a true heart, and just said, "Jesus, forgive me." And then the repentance comes. Do you know what repentance is, right? It is to change your way you think about sin. And it turns you away from things that you used to do that was sinful more and more. Doing a lot more U-turns more often, right? If you got that going and you have that forgiven spirit, great. But if you have issues there, then you need to come before God and get real with them. See, an unforgiving spirit doesn't come from my strength. And you know, that's seven times, I'm done. But Jesus is seven, saying 77 times seven and whatever else. See, unforgiveness doesn't come from me. It comes from the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of God within me when I became His son. That gives me the ability, the willingness, not the ability even, the willingness to forgive somebody else, no matter how small it was or something really huge. But we have to remember the debt He paid for each one of us, for myself. It's an amazing debt that He has paid. That one sin would topple the whole tower down. And if you do it time after time after time, man, you can't really measure it. His love for us and all of that. So our reminder, a good reminder is Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And I should have underlined just as in Christ, because I think that's a key there. Because without Christ, we're not going to forgive anybody. Without His power working within us, we're not going to really be able to forgive. We don't even have the authority, truthfully, to forgive. The authority to forgive is from Jesus Christ alone. So when you are a follower of Christ, you have that authority. He will give us that authority to forgive others, just like He forgave. Because it's not just right here in the earthly realm, but it's in the heavens as well. Remember the kingdom come? Heaven is it on earth? So when you're forgiving somebody here, it's being forgiven in heaven. There's authority and power to erase the sin. Just as in Christ. Don't ever forget that. When somebody kicks you in the shin, don't forget this. Somebody throws mud in your face, don't forget this. Somebody steals your car, don't forget this. Somebody calls you a bad name, don't forget this. Somebody hits you in the face with a brick, don't forget this. Somebody kills somebody you love, don't forgive this. I have seen people come to the prisons of somebody who murdered their son and out of a genuine heart forgave that murderer. What an impact that had on that man's life. I don't know the results, but I guarantee it impacted me. It impacted people who covered the story, and it impacted, you know, even that person, those people who were able to forgive. And even in Ukraine, there's going to be a lot of forgiveness there. But it can be done, because it's not in our own strength. If it's in our own strength, it can't. Sorry. It ends at seven. But with God, it can be done. Great reminder, yeah? So to vanquish our number one killer, forgive. Just as you have been forgiven. Don't forget that. Don't start walking in that pridefulness. Ooh, I'm okay. I don't have to be forgiven. Everything's right with me every day. I don't even talk to God. I don't certainly don't confess my sin to Him. So, oh, you sinned against me. You owe me. No, it's Father, forgive me. And then somebody sins against me. Hey, you know what? You know what? I understand. I don't like it. I don't like it, but I understand, and I will forgive you. So what does it look like? A little bit of, you know, there, it looks like a lot of things. Sometimes it's walking to a prison. Sometimes it's going across the street. Sometimes it's just talking to your son or daughter or to your wife or husband or whatever, you know, co-worker, whatever, you know. But what does it look like? Well, these are some tips that Alistair Begg gave, something kind of good. He says, to forgive, this is what it looks like. I forgive you. I will not bring it up again. So, Steve, I won't bring it up again after today. That's it. I will not bring it up to someone else. I will not bring it up to myself again. Simple. Simple, yeah. Simple, oh, yeah. Do's and do's. We love the do's and do's. Problem is, you can't do it on your own. So don't, because you'll fail. And you'll become unforgiving. And the results will be seen in your spiritual life as well as your physical life and your relationships and all that stuff around you. Yeah. Simple things to remember. Don't bring it up. Don't talk to other people about it. Don't even think about it anymore. And as time goes on, these hurts and things that used to be said or done to us, just kind of fade away. And you can even forget them because God allows that. And he is working in us. And he's showing us things that are much more important than somebody kicking you in the shin or doing something even harder to you. Our model, our best model is Jesus Christ, right? 1 Peter. You know, when he's hanging on the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And Jesus never had to be forgiven, did he? But he had to bear our sins on the cross. When they hurled their insults at him, what did he do? Hit him with a lightning bolt? No. He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That's what we need to do. Take the situation that just happened to us and take it to God. The best place to take it, right? He himself bore our sins. He knows what it is. In his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And I don't believe that's just physical healing. That's spiritual healing. That's emotional, mental healing. Every type of healing that makes us whole. In fact, it all comes in culmination when we meet Christ in the air. When our bodies are made perfect. And the consequences and even the presence of sin is gone, eliminated, eradicated, zilched, erased, deleted, shredded, whatever it takes, it's gone. And that's what we look forward to. But we are to live it, right? To live it for others, live it for ourselves, to take out our number one spiritual killer of unforgiveness. What do we have to do? What's the first thing we need to do? How many times? One day? Daily repentance. Live a life of daily repentance before God. What's next? Do you remember? Forgive! As Christ what? Forgave us. Forgive as you have been forgiven. And what could it look like? What does it look like? Somebody sinned against you. What are you going to do? Huh? What's those three things that Alistair gave us to think about, put into action? Can you remember? Huh? Don't bring it up again. What else? Don't talk to someone else about it. What else? Don't even think about it. Sounds easy. Call upon the Lord and ask for help. He will help. He is good. He is God. He understands where we're at. Let's pray. Father, again, your word is powerful. You have done a powerful thing. Each time I think about forgiveness, I'm amazed. And I thank you that you have helped me understand this much more clearly, to where I can be more forgiving and understand that process of forgiveness and what it even looks like. Father, help us to go forth in our families, with our friends, co-workers, people around us. Lord, help us to be those who forgive, because the world does not know forgiveness without you. And we are your representatives here. So help us to do that. Father God, you are so good. Praise you for this time together. May you receive all the glory and praise in it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all those people say it.